For over 10 years, we've been bringing you killer metal music and frank discussions about heavy metal. Wait, who the hell is Frank? You are tuned into MSR Cast, brought to you by Mainstream Resistance. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek and Sean the Metal Pigeon. Keep it metal.
Welcome, my friends, to episode number 192 of MSR Cast, your one source for heavy metal.
Not
your one source, but one of your sources for heavy metal.
One of the sources.
That's right. I am one of your hosts. I am Kerry the Metal Geek, along with
Sean the Metal Pigeon.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good. Very exhausted, but
from listening to too much metal, right?
Yeah. Actually, this week I've been listening to a lot of, I know this is just going to be out of nowhere, but I've been listening to a lot of Weezer.
I told you not to say it. Really?
Yeah. I don't know. It dawned on me that, like, oh, yeah, they've released, like, a couple albums in the past few years that I haven't listened to, and they've always been one of my favorite bands, like, non-metal rock bands growing up, you know? And it's like, why haven't I listened to these albums yet? And I've been listening to them all week. You don't know.
Okay. I'm just gonna ignore that happened.
I feel comfortable bringing it up because before we started recording, you were mentioning how you were listening to the new Depeche Mode record.
Yeah, I like Depeche Mode. Yeah. I just no bones about it.
Yeah,
and I did listen to the new album probably like three or four times this week on Spotify, and it's a very anti-Trump album.
Yeah,
it's a good album. There's a couple of really, really, really quality songs on there.
It's been a long time since they've had like a hit, right? Like, I remember Dream On was like the last song like in 2000.
What?
That song Dream On, right?
You're thinking of Aerosmith.
No. It was the album they released in the year 2000. I remember the music video for it.
I don't remember that song.
Yeah, I guess not a lot of people do.
Apparently. No, I mean, the new album is good. I mean, it is very, what's the word I'm
political.
Looking for? Depeche Mode?
Yeah.
It's depressed mode?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so the name of the album is called Spirit. First song is called Going Backwards, which talks about, as America, we are going backwards.
Wow.
Second one is Where's the Revolution? The next one is called The Worst Crime, which is pretty much talking about our last election. And then the next song after that is called Scum.
I'm impressed they turned this around so fast. It was only, it's like been, 5 months only? Maybe not even 5 months?
I don't know. That's the vibe I get from it.
Yeah.
Check it out for yourself. If you don't get that vibe, maybe I'm just reading into it too much. Well, but I don't know.
It does bring up the interesting thing about how the Trump thing is going to affect metal. Because you would think that would inspire a lot of stuff. But then you think back to and I know you can't really compare. I mean, you could, but it's not. What's going on right now is just so bizarre compared to what George W. Bush's first 4 years were, where you would get Green Day's American Idiot and all these political things that happened on the periphery, but never really in metal. I mean, I don't really think of anything
Ministry.
That stands out. Ministry, okay,
they did one thing.
Yeah.
A trilogy of albums hating on Bush.
And you wonder, a trilogy for Bush? I mean, you're going to do a six-album set for Trump, you know?
Yeah.
How can you sit this one out?
I don't know.
Al?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Come on, Al.
Depeche Mode has the jump on everyone.
They sort of do.
Yeah.
So, what have you been up to besides getting into Weezer? Seen any shows or done anything fun?
I haven't seen any shows, but I am going to go to, and you're going to be going to Creator on Tuesday. And that's Creator, and
So let's the funny story about this. I got an email. I was at work last week, and I actually now work walking distance from the House of Blues in downtown Houston, which is sort of cool. If I ever want to go to a show, I just work a little late and just walk over, you know?
Yeah.
Which happened last week. I got an email on Monday from the House of Blues saying, hey, we just made your day better. I'm like, okay, interested. Clicked on it. It said RSVP for free tickets. I was like, oh, okay, so I wonder what shows they have. And I looked down. The first show they had on there was
Whitechapel
with Cattle Decapitation, Goat Horror, Allegiant, and Necromancing the Stone. I was like, yes. And Justin from, who's sometimes co-host on Metal Geeks and now Mind Fudge podcast, he's a big Elysian fan. I texted him, I was like, hey, dude, free ticket. If you want to go, I'll meet you there. And that's exactly what we did. I walked over from work and I missed Necromancing the Stone because I had to work a little late. Missed them. I don't know. I mean, by the time we got there like at 6:45 and they're already off the stage.
That's crazy.
And we got in there. That's crazy early. I know. And we saw Legion, who were freaking amazing. I really like that band. And you would think second band on a tour like this that their sound would be horrible because they do a lot of, you know, guitar wankery, arpeggios, and all that weird guitar stuff, and sounded great. Hung out with a singer afterwards at the booth. He's a really nice guy. I bought an album from them, and we sort of were talking about the podcast, and he's like, "Yep, yeah, I want to come on your show." So he's going to come on both shows because he wants to geek out on Metal Geeks,
right?
And then, you know, play some metal on this show. So yeah, look forward to that in the future.
Wow.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff he was talking about. We'll let him explain that a little bit more when he's on the show.
Yeah, I remember seeing him. I think he was the guy on Banger TV. They had a lock horns where they were debating crowdfunding. And I think that he was one of the guys on there.
Because they do a lot of crowdfunding.
They got kind of blown up in the press last year for that, yeah.
They're doing a lot of touring, though, so, I mean, it's affording them to do these tours, I guess.
Yeah.
This is the Metal Blade 35th anniversary tour.
Right.
So all the bands were, you know, on Metal Blade at some point in their career, or still are. Goat Horror were freaking amazing, which is funny because the last time we saw Goat Horror was maybe 2 or 3 years ago at the House of Blues, right? And they had this shirt. It says, fuck Whitechapel. What did it say? It said, fuck Whitechapel, more Haunting the Chapel on the back of it, right?
Yeah.
They're still selling this shirt on a tour with Whitechapel. I thought that was the most ironic fucking thing ever. I pretty great.
Yeah.
Sort of ballsy to do that, too, because they're not headlining. The Whitechapel band headlined.
Yeah, you know.
Which we were gone before they even were anywhere near taking stage.
So. Oh, yeah. Not even interested. For a second, yeah.
I mean, I got free tickets, so I couldn't complain. We saw most of Cattle Decapitation, and we just decided to leave, like, maybe 45 minutes into the set.
Yeah, fair.
When it all sounded the same.
Yeah, right.
Didn't say that.
I haven't seen Goat Horror in, like, it's got to be, like, 12 years or something ridiculous like that. Last time I saw them was, I think, at Cardi's. No, not Cardi's. It was maybe, anyway, it doesn't matter. It was a long time ago.
They're always a great live. Goat Horror put on a damn good show.
Yeah.
They're tight too. They're so tight live, and it's natural form. It's like I made a comment to Justin. I was like, dude, they have such a loud wall of sound with one guitar player.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I'm always impressed by bands like that. They can sound so powerful, just like as a trio or something. You know?
Yeah, the power trio, but they're the fourth person in the band,
right?
Yeah. So the email also had free tickets for our creator, and who else was playing with him? Obituary?
Yeah, Obituary.
Horrendous.
Horrendous.
And one other band.
Midnight. Yeah.
So here's a quick story. I have never seen Obituary live. I've always wanted to.
Yeah, no, I actually haven't either.
I was on my way to see Obituary in 1992, maybe? 90, when they did a tour was like, I can't remember who their touring was. It was like Obituary and Entombed, I think, or something like that.
Wow.
And we're on the way to the show. We got into a car accident. We wound up in the hospital.
Oy.
That was the big one, where people in the other car actually...
The many car accidents of Cary Grant.
They died. But we never got to see... I've never seen Obituary, so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go to the show. Should be fun. Yeah. I've never seen Creator live, and I really like the new album.
Yeah, yeah. I hope they play some of Phantom Antichrist live.
I need to gear up on them a little bit more before the show. So I can, what I do for some band that I don't really know a lot of, I'll look up their set list and then I'll listen to those songs. At least I'm a little bit more familiar when I see them live, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine they're going to stick with the last two albums a little bit, maybe hit something off like Enemy of God and then go to like, you know, the classic stuff and the early stuff.
Yeah, they'll also do some early 80s stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
In some 90s era, come on.
I don't know what they could... I don't know if they do that. I honestly haven't looked at the set list. I actually just forgot about the show until you reminded me the other day.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, yeah, that is happening.
You signed up for your free tickets, right?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be fun.
How cool that they're giving away free tickets to
Yeah,
creator and obituary.
I don't know why, but it
helped a little bit, I guess, at the last show, because I was wondering how many people actually got in for free with his deal. You know,
were there a lot of people there
for a Tuesday night? Not a lot of people. Yeah. It was enough, but let's get into our first band then.
All right,
let's get into Elysian.
Yeah,
this is a song from the brand new album Proponent for Sentient. Killer album. I love their Rush cover. They do a really cool cover of Subdivisions.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. But the song we're going to get into is of Mind and Matrix. These guys get heavy. They have a lot of guitar winkery built into it. I think they're just they're a really talented band. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just one of those, it feels like it comes natural to them, you know?
This is going to be my first time hearing this, so.
Oh, very cool.
Yep.
So let's get into Elysian for your very, I'm glad I can bring you your very first time. All right, we'll be right back. We'll be right back. That was definitely some destructive currents right there.
Man. Yes.
Immolation never failing to deliver on the ultimate heaviness, man.
Yeah.
These guys are so fucking good.
Yes, they're one of those rare death metal bands that can create an atmosphere and still be heavy and have the atmosphere be like foreboding and kind of like murky and smoky. Yeah, they always impress me. I'll be honest, I wasn't that much of a fan of Kingdom of Conspiracy, the last one. Majesty and Decay to me is like one of the best death metal albums I've ever heard in my life. And I still listen to that album pretty much on the regular whenever I need something like, you know, that dark and stuff. But this new one it's weird because they went back to their old logo, like their early 90s logo.
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting because the album doesn't sound that old school. It just sounds like what they've been doing. So I kind of thought like that was a weird move by them. I didn't really have a problem with them using a non death metal logo as they've been doing. So I'm not sure what the deal is with that. The new album is really good. It's I don't think it's quite, I think that Majesty and Decay is going to be their peak, but I am impressed with it. And I'm not, you know, with Kingdom, I think I listened to it for like a week and I was like, eh, okay, maybe next time. And then I didn't realize it would take them 4 years to release an album.
Are you atoning for your past immolation sins now on this new album called Atonement?
I think that I'll go back and give Kingdom another shot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, maybe the time has.
No, you touched on a couple of really great points. Dark and brooding and foreboding, all those. See, what I like about them, they're able to take typical what death metal is and sort of like take it down to its core and throw all these different elements that a lot of other bands don't even try to make into death metal.
Yeah.
So you have your typical death metal elements, but like the slow, you know, the off time drum that are playing something a little bit different, progressive stuff, the darkness, the broodiness.
It's almost doomy at points.
Yeah.
Without being doom metal, if that makes any sense.
It's death metal influenced by doom.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that atmospherically they're thinking like Candlemass and that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that before.
Yeah. And just, I don't know. They have a, and maybe I put too much stock into the actual cover art for Majesty and Decay. You know, with the statue and the souls coming out of the middle of the statue. It's one of my favorite pieces of art of all time in metal. But they seem to be one of these bands that just has this grip on, like, how can we create songs that create kind of mental images and stuff. And, like, they're not afraid of injecting space and silence in their music and having, not every second has to be hit with a note, you know, or filled with some sort of, you know, pointless riff that a lot of death metal bands get caught up into doing, you know.
It is weird. I'm looking at the album cover now for this new album. It is strange that they went back to the original death metal early 90s logo.
For no reason. That actual image, the cover of the new album, they have a 3D, they have this music video out for it. It's not even a music video per se. It's just a 3D video, 360 video.
Okay.
Where you can like click on the video and drag it around and look around the angel.
Oh, that's cool.
Up there and stuff. And it's cool.
It's a really cool, you know, post-apocalyptic, you know, like an angel of death.
Those video, I've noticed a lot more metal bands doing things like that, and it's cool, but at the same time, it's like, what's the point? What am I doing?
Promotional. It's all promotional material. Yeah. I mean, this is a totally different, you know, age of music consumption. It's all done online now. Physical media is pretty much dead. You have to do something interesting to get people's attention. And the way the bands make money now is touring and merch. And
I'll give them credit. They obviously didn't spend as much money doing that little 360 video as Firewind have spent on their video.
So, do you want to jump into Firewind now?
The 300 knockoff.
Okay,
yeah,
so let's mention that we did listen to Allegion before. The song is called Of Mind and Matrix. Proponent for Sentient is the album. Yeah. This came out recently. Great freaking album. What was your this is the first time you really heard them. So what was your initial response?
I liked it. I mean, it did, you know, and maybe it was because you mentioned Rush before we started listening to it.
Yeah.
But I did hear that Rush influence in there.
It's progressive death metal to a guitar for guitar nerds.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And the keyboard stuff sounded like the melodies they were playing wouldn't sound out of place on like a Seventh Wonder album or something mm-hmm. like that. If anyone knows, because we can't figure it out, when the song starts, they have the intro melody. That melody reminds me of something. It reminds me of
an AC/DC song.
If anyone knows what it is that we're missing, let us know.
Yeah, exactly right. Send us an email at msrcast@gmail.com, or you can tweet both of us, MSRcast or Metal Geeks, as well as the Metal Pigeon.
Yeah, because I could swear that's something like, it sounds like almost something I would have heard like on an Ed Guy album. There's not the way they record it, but the melody behind it.
The melody part of it. Yeah. Okay. Let's get into Firewind. So Firewind have returned. This is the first new album in how long? I'm looking up their career here. This is
first album without Apollo.
This is the first album without Apollo. So this is the first album in 5 years. Gus G's been doing a lot of Aussie stuff and like solo material and that kind of thing. And this is an album that's called Immortals. It just came out maybe 2 months ago. It's a 2017 release. They have a new vocalist now, so Apollo is no longer in the band, which I thought I was going to completely hate, because I was a huge fan of Apollo. He's the one. He made the band for me. But they have Henning Bossy. Yeah. Bassy? How do you say his name?
Bossy.
Bossy. From Metallion and a bunch of other bands. Let's see. He's in another. He was in Mayan, which was a great underrated album.
Yeah. Yeah, and did some. I think he even guested on Aventasia at some point.
That's right. He has. Yeah, he's been in lots of different bands: Sons of Seasons, Metallium. I guess he was in Brainstorm very shortly. Gamma Ray, Holy Moses, Mayan. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Andrea? Yeah, he was in Brainstorm before Andy joined up.
Yeah, Andy Frank.
Yeah.
Underrated vocalist, in my opinion, too, Andy Frank.
Andy
Frank. Let's be frank about it. But yeah, the album's really good. It's the song that we picked. It's not the 300 tribute song. It's the song we picked. It's called Hand of Time. It's really catchy, really cool chorus on it. But yeah, Firewind's always done those really cheesy music videos, totally green screened. Totally, you know, that they use the color palette from action movie posters. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's that red and the orange color, yeah. And the really like dark blues.
Yeah.
It's looking at an action movie movie poster, but done in all in After Effects.
I mean, I'm guessing this is like a thematic album or something, right?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It's a good album. It's a really good album. It's a good comeback album. Like I said, thought I was going to hate it without, you know, having Apollo in the band, but he's still kicking it out there with, what's the name of the band he's in?
Oh.
What's the guy from Carcass?
God,
look at us. We suck.
It's been a lazy Sunday. I'm not mentally sharp today.
I got to look up Apollo now. Spiritual Beggars. That's the band I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the music video a little bit more. Okay. We watched it like right before we recorded. What did you think?
It's going to become
perfectly,
this
right?
This become a tradition like with us like talking about music videos. It's fine. You know, look, I just think these things are a waste of money. And I was actually sitting and thinking about this the other day about how bands are using their resources and how you sometimes feel like, well, that was just a waste of money. And it, you know, something occurred to me, like if you're not going to have a hit off your album or a song that rises above the fray, if you're not going to have any type of like, what am I trying to say? Like, if you're not going to have a song that captures attention of the public in some way, it doesn't have to be big, but say like Camelot, for example, it was, you know, Somewhere in Time with the Simone Simmons duet they had.
Right.
That was a song that got a lot of attention online for the most part. And it brought a lot of people into the fold of like, wow, look at that. That was like, it's not a perfect video, but it was a memorable video. But when you do something like what Firewind's doing with this 300 knockoff, everyone's first reaction is, well, they're okay, it's like a 300 knockoff. No one sits there and is awed by what they're seeing on the screen. And I think that if you're not going to give people something that they can remember and think like, oh, that was cool, I need to send that to someone, or it was memorable in a way because it was interesting visually, it's then what's the point of doing it? Why not save that money and spend it on something else, you know, on your tour or something like that? I just think that
T-shirts and...
Yeah, I just think the bands need to be a little wiser about what they're doing, basically. You know, like Guns N' Roses, for example.
Oh, well, are we going to go there?
I'm just saying, they spent like $3 million on the November Rain video, right? Okay. And obviously most of that probably went towards like the catering and the alcohol budget.
Yes.
However, that video, everyone remembers that video, and it's iconic. And even if it didn't, you know, help the, you know, the single was high charting, but even if it wasn't like a video to propel the single, everyone talks about that video still because the images are indelible. You remember Slash and the helicopter fly over and Axl at the piano and the rain falling. So it's money well spent, right? Because it does something for your band. And metal bands just have a hard time producing videos that make the take that execute that concept. Case in point, Metallica on the last album, a crappy video for every song in the album.
Right.
For God's sakes, guys, take that money and focus on three songs, three videos, and make
take
them,
that money and focus on making better songs.
Well, you know, they have a couple songs.
I agree. There's some great songs on that album, but like, overall, not
like the
not
only
all of
the
it.
Only video that was really decent was Moth Into the Flame, and it was kind of boring.
The cool lights, yeah, stuff the like lights, that. Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
But everything else is just kind of like, what the hell are you guys doing?
I got to admit, that's a damn catchy song, though.
Yeah, no, it really is very catchy, yeah.
All right, so let's move on to our next set of songs that we're going to get into. Let's get into Firewind now. We're going to get into the song Hands of Time. This is from Immortals. Check it out, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
just listening to a song called Death and the New Sun by the King of Asgard. Not kings, king.
Just one singular king.
One king. There can only be one.
Then no, that's a Highlander.
King of Asgard, not a well-known band.
Yeah, tell me about this band. I have no idea who they are.
So fans of Falconer will know that the guitarist from Falconer, Stefan Weinerhall, the main guy in Falconer, before he was in Falconer, he was in a blackened folk metal band in the late 90s called Mythiton. And he and the drummer, Karsten, when that band folded, they left to form Falconer, got Matthias Blad, and rest is history with them. The other guy in the band who was a main force in that band, or a major partner in that band, was Carl Beckman. And he was the guitarist, and I think he played keyboards too. And he kind of just, you know, disappeared for a while. He had some like projects that didn't really go anywhere. And then in 2008, he finally kind of got something really going and channeled with King of Asgard, got a deal actually for the first time in ages, and has been releasing albums ever since. I think this is like their fifth album. This is going to be coming out, or it came out 2 days ago, called Taudor.
Taudor.
T-A-U-D-R. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Okay. Sounds about right.
And he basically kind of, it's almost like a, I think of it as a continuation of what Mythiton was doing with the kind of blackened folk metal, except he really amps up the folk aspect of this band and almost taking a page from Falconer in that respect. But, you know, keeping up with the grim vocals, was the kind of blackened feel of it. Almost a, I don't know. Like, I think this band is, they've flown under the radar, but I've been aware of them for a few years, and I've always appreciated the fact that they look at folk metal as something that it should be rustic sounding and should be kind of rough around the edges and not polished up into the kind of twee garbage that some of the folk metal bands that I detest have turned the genre into. So
what do you call them?
Twee.
Twee. What does that mean?
It means like. Like playful or childish almost, you know, it's hard to use this in a metal band context, but just a little too cutesy, you know, like Korpiklaani and stuff like that. And
okay.
Like what, you know, unfortunately Finntroll has turned into, degenerated into. So yeah, King of Asgard's kind of like a rustic, a take on folk metal, where if you have written off the genre before, and you liked what you just heard, this is the band that's doing that kind of stuff and really keeping folk metal back to its original spirit. And sometimes you got to go backwards in order to go forwards. And I did not, I loved folk metal around, you know, the early parts of 2000s and stuff. And I hated to see what it turned into. And I knew I was at my nadir when a couple years ago, I went to go see Finntroll. They were doing a headlining show when we went there, and they came out on stage wearing elf ears, like pointy elf ears. And
but
like,
you like Lord of the Rings, come on.
No, but I mean, this was ridiculous. And they were hamming it up, like going for the full Korpiklaani thing. Like, that's a band that's found some traction in the live audiences, and they were just kind of going for it. When 5 years before, I saw them in another venue here in Houston. And they did like a full on dirty black metal folk, you know, black metal meets folk metal, just crushing performance. No bullshit, no frills, just them. Raw. It was amazing. My friend's arm got broken at that show.
Well, that's a good show, so, then, right?
I mean, to see disparity between that time I saw them and then the next time I saw them, that was to me just a low point for folk metal. So
there was a, I can't think of the name of the, it's a, we watch a lot of YouTube type of, you know, Watch Mojo top 10 video, that type of stuff. And there was one, the weirdest styles of metal. And folk metal was one of those on there. And they, of course, they showed Viking metal too. They had Monomars. They had pirate metal, porno grind, some weird stuff. I shared it on my Facebook page the other day. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It just reminded me of that weird folk metal stylistic, like you're talking about, has turned into sort of like a parody of itself.
If you want to really get a good education in folk metal, Banger TV, obviously, Lock Horns, they had a folk metal episode where they had Natalie Zedd from Angry Metal Guy, and other places where she writes, and she was kind of the guest. And she's a big folk metal fan. She's very credible in terms of like her knowledge base and good education if you want to find out more about folk metal. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. So let's get into something old, but make it new again.
All right.
You want to do that?
Yeah.
This is from an album called Inception. This is the band known as Sanctuary. This is sort of this is all stuff that was recorded in 1986. It was sort of lost to the ages. It was never released.
Oh yeah, this one. Yeah.
Yeah, they've sort of you know, a couple of songs on this they've redone. They did, of course, White Rabbit, Battle Angel, things like that. But a lot of the songs on here have never been released before. And you can still, it still has a little bit of that 80s recording, you know, quality to it, but they did a great job in mastering it for today's audience.
So it's not a re-recording.
A re-recording. It's just a lost...
like a remix, you know, of a lost tape or something.
A remix and remastered. There is a presumed lost album completely, like their first demo album they were going to do. And they found it in the vaults recently, and it's getting released now. It's out there now.
Yeah, I always wonder how that stuff just gets lost. Like, you know, just... yeah, someone moved with it and it's gone now.
I think it was in the either in the recording studio or whatever record label they were on back in the day.
Right. Yeah.
So it was lost somewhere. Who's it being put out? It's being put out by Century Media now, so it's pretty cool. Came out in February of this year. Has, let's see, 9 songs on there. Battle Angel, of course. White Rabbit. The song we're going to hear, they did a music video for this. They actually found old footage of this song being performed.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's called Dream of the Incubus, and it's definitely a sex-filled romp song. Yeah. Listen to the lyrics to it when you listen to it. It's pretty interesting. But let's get into it. This is from the... do you want to call it a new album? Compilation? You want to call it a compilation?
It's weird. It's like it's a new old album, or it's an old new album.
Old new and old put together.
Yeah.
So this is of course the epic power metal band, traditional metal band, Sanctuary, featuring Warl Dane, of course, on vocals. And let's get into a little Dream of the Incubus. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was Evocation.
Yeah.
Not Revocation.
Evocation.
Evocation. What's that? Evocation.
Evocation.
What does that mean?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Evocation.
I don't know what revocation means either. And it's when you revoke an evocation?
Sure.
I don't know.
Doesn't evocation relate to being evocative or something like that? Or
I guess we could look up our old friend on Google.
Yeah.
What does evocation mean?
So this is a band, another band, death metal band, that is releasing an album for the first time in years, more years than, you know, you'd want a band to take between albums. I think 5 years since the last time they've done anything. And
I remember what evocation means.
What's that?
It's the act of bringing or recalling a feeling, memory, or image to the conscious mind.
Yeah, duh.
See what I did there?
Obviously, we lack that skill.
Apparently. You know, it's late when we're recording.
Illusions of Grandeur. I mean, that was the last album. I remember that album coming out and thinking, because I had missed it the year it came out in 2012, and thinking like, yeah, that was pretty good. And that was actually my introduction to the band. And I kind of went back and listened to a couple other things on Spotify. But I have been listening to this album. It has snuck up on me. For the past 2 weeks, I've been listening to it a ton. And this is one of those things where I wouldn't be surprised that when I think about, you know, best albums of the year, this winds up being something in the conversation.
Wow.
They're just a death metal band that is, again, not typical. They know how to write smart songs, interesting songs with shifting structures and progressive elements and stuff like that. And that doesn't really say much. You know, obviously you just heard what, you know, an example of what they do. But I think that what separates them from just typical death metal bands is just this kind of intelligence in the songwriting, where it's, you don't have to go for the basic, you know, gorilla punching the floor, you know, brutality.
Yeah.
It can be a little more sophisticated than typical death metal. Because typical death metal, at this point in our lives, I think that's kind of boring for us. So before that, we were listening to Sanctuary, something about incubuses and doing things to people at night and stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird song.
Yeah, well, I like the riff in the song.
Yeah, but sure. You say it reminds you of like Abigail.
It reminds me of King Diamond. Yeah, definitely. Even the syncopation, the guitar, you know. And his vocal stylings, he had yet to develop into that definitive voice that we know now.
He was working on it there.
Yeah, you can tell it was early days, and he's trying to figure it out. Interesting bit of history, I guess, you know?
It's fun. I mean, it's cool that they found this in the vault, so yeah, to speak, and have reworked it for modern times.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't heard the rest of the album. I don't know if you have either. But
I have.
Do you think it justifies being a standalone release, or they could have just thrown it out there as a free download? Like, here, you know?
I think so.
I
think it definitely deserves to be a release for if you're a fan of the band.
Yeah. Sometimes I wish there was like a hidden Queensryche album or something from that classic era, you know? So I guess if you're just a Sanctuary fan who wishes they had something more back then.
They only had two albums.
They only had two albums. So, here you go.
Here you go. Here's another album. A couple songs you've already heard, but the rest you have not.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So before we wrap up this episode, anything, any other topics you wanted to talk about? Do you want to touch the elephant in the room?
It's not much of an elephant. It's more like a annoying poodle, I guess.
Let's talk about it.
All right.
Go ahead. Let you start.
I think the last time we discussed Mastodon was a couple years ago on the show.
And I'll admit, I do like Mastodon. I think they make catchy music for what they are. They're not a complete metal band.
Right.
But they do make some catchy, you know, stoner quality metal.
Yeah.
And that's what they are. And yeah. I like some of the stuff off the new album. But what was the name of, who was it?
Brett Hines.
Brett Hines, yeah. Smart guy.
Maybe.
Except when it comes to metal.
I was listening to him on the Josta podcast this past week, and interesting discussions and stuff. He's an interesting guy when they're not talking about music, basically. I just think he's one of these guys who, you know full well the things you say are dumb. Judas Priest isn't a metal band.
Yeah, so there it is right there. He came out in the press and said, yeah, Judas Priest is not a metal band.
And I get that it was an off-the-cuff comment. Like, he's just sort of like...
I'm sure it was definitely taken out of context somehow.
Because he was saying, like, they always sound more rock and roll to me. And, you know, the funny thing is I was listening to Priest's catalog from start to finish a couple weeks ago. I even mentioned it on the show. And, you know, their early albums definitely are, like, boogie rock and stuff. And
it's like old Aerosmith.
However, and even... Okay, even coming up to Screaming for Vengeance. You know, a song like Living After Midnight and stuff like that. And yeah, it's got a rock and roll swing to the rhythm. However... Even saying that, within those albums, and even on Sad Wings, they were developing the central pillars of what would become modern metal as we know it today.
Modern metal. Painkiller, 1990. You don't get more metal than that album.
Yeah.
The song, even the song, just leave the rest of the album out, just Painkiller, the song itself, has paved the way for what metal is today. You can't say that is not metal.
Yeah, and predating that, you know, don't tell me this song like Blood Red Skies is a rock and roll song.
Or Turbo Lover.
For God's sakes, that is a metal song.
I can't even say that with a straight face.
Like, that's a metal song. I'm sorry. And Dissident Aggressor, that's metal.
No, Dissident Aggressor. I mean, Slayer covered that song.
Yeah. So, and I just feel like he's one of these guys who somehow he feels, I don't know anything about the guy. But I just get the feeling that he feels like he will look better to some hidden party he's trying to impress if he disassociates himself with metal. Yet at the same time, Mastodon has pretty much ridden the metal audience all the way to the popularity they have today. And I find that so insulting. And I get sick of that. Like, we have enough... It's hard enough for us in metal to fight and claw for every little bit of, you know... Like, every show, is every tour that comes through Houston, I consider it like, oh, wow, they're here, you know? And it's still thrilling. I don't take it for granted anymore. Right? It's just, when you get someone like that in the big metal band saying something like that about one of our legacy artists, it's like, why? What makes rock and roll more pure than metal? It's just kind of, it reeks of ignorance and stupidity, and it's insulting to all of us.
Interesting on that topic, how metal sort of, come full front a little bit. Okay, so what's the drummer's name from Mastodon? It's
Nick something?
No. Definitely not Nick. He's been okay, so one of the late night talk shows, do you know that they actually
Fallon, right?
Or not, no, Fallon. Not Fallon.
Seth Meyers, yeah.
Late show with Seth Meyers. He's had the drummer from Mastodon on because, you know, the usual drummer is the comedian. This is late. My mind is going.
Yeah, no, I know.
Fred Armisen.
Right, that guy, yeah.
He's usually their normal drummer, but sometimes when he's not available, they'll have other people come in and play. So they've had the drummer from Mastodon this past week. Guess who they had?
Nico.
Nico McBrain from fucking Iron Maiden.
So that was this past week,
yeah,
right?
This past week.
I wonder if that's online.
Guess who is coming on the show this whole coming week? To be their drummer.
No idea.
Charlie Benante from Anthrax.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
I'm excited for this. Yeah. It's just super cool, too.
Yeah. Good publicity for them.
Yeah, it's great publicity because they're about to go on a tour and all this kind of stuff. And, I mean, you have the drummer from Iron Maiden and Anthrax jamming in a late night band just for promotion.
Yeah.
You wouldn't even got that 10 years ago.
No, definitely this is
a good, it's a good thing now.
Yeah. You got metalheads in power in these shows.
Pretty much, yeah. All these metalheads they're all our age now.
Yeah.
So, like, Seth Meyers, you know, or whoever's on booking these people.
Right.
It's like, hey, you know who would be cool? Nico McBrain. Can we do it? Let's do it.
Yeah, why not?
Let's just get him.
We need a drummer.
Let's get Charlie from Anthrax.
Yeah.
You think he'll do it? Why not? Let's just do it. It's pretty awesome. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I need to go check out some of those Nico clips. Hopefully there's someone put them up on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, it's not a very... You see him here and there when they're going in and out of commercials and things like that. But at one point, he will talk to him for a second. Oh, thanks for being here. We have Nico McBrain from Iron Maiden. And then Nico pretty much goes, oh, thanks for having me, mate. And that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So it's not like a full, you know, comedy bit or, you know, like, hey, tell me about yourself. You know, it's still good.
For Iron Maiden to get mentioned on American national television, that's a win.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. Even Anthrax, right. It's a bigger one because everybody knows Iron Maiden.
Yeah. And, you know, screw Mastodon, man. those guys, like, I think the other guys in the band actually don't have a problem being categorized as a metal band.
Brand Daller, something like that?
Yeah.
The drummer? Am I right?
Maybe.
I'm going to look it up while you spit some hate.
Well, I'm not trying to be like elitist at all because I don't think that this should be elitist. We would love to embrace Mastodon.
Brand Daler. That's his name.
And say, like, yeah, the Mastodon's one of us. They're a metal band. Look how far they've gotten. You know, like, yeah, it's really cool. They're like a gateway band, you know, for people who are into rock but not quite haven't made that leap to metal. They can get in through Mastodon, and then they're into Opeth, and then they're into other stuff, and all of a sudden, before they know it, they're metalheads. And there's nothing wrong with that. And I don't understand why you would just do things like, for fuck's sake, Rob Halford calls himself the metal god.
That's true.
You know what I mean? This is stupid. It's just, it's a ridiculous
good
thing
point.
To
he
say.
Doesn't call himself rock god.
Yeah, god damn it.
All right, let's move on. I think we're all tired and we're getting a little angry and cranky here. So thanks for tuning in to episode number 192 of MSRcast. You can find us on the interwebs at MSRcast.com. You can find us at metalgeeks.net. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Stitcher. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, all at MSRcast, or our sister show, The Metal Geeks Podcast, all at Metal Geeks. You can find Sean, the Metal Pigeon, at
The Metal Pigeon on all the platforms.
All the platforms, exactly.
All the ones, even the ones I'm not logged in on.
LinkedIn, you can find him on LinkedIn. In Indeed.com, all those places. Let's get into our last band here.
All right.
This is a band I just discovered recently called Spiritus Mortis. Have you heard of these guys before?
No, I like the name, though.
They've been around for a while. I'm going to pull them back up here. I have them on the interweb.
I like the name of the band and the album, as well as the song title. Wordy, but tonally correct.
Totally correct.
Yeah.
So the name of the song we're going to play is I Am a Name on Your Funeral Wreaths. This band really has struck a chord with me. I love doom metal. And this is one of the very first Finnish doom metal bands to ever come out. Their first demo came out in 1990, right?
Wow.
Yeah, so they've been around for a while. Their first major full length wasn't until 2004. But this is a brand new one, came out in 2016 called The Year Is One. I get a My Dying Bride vibe off of these guys. Mm. I get a Would the V Pray vibe off of these guys. Ooh. I get
intrigued.
Yeah. You definitely get a, like a Finnish doom melancholy style out of melancholy and like Swallow the Sun and all that guitar tone. I love this band and the vocals. Definitely remind me of Aaron from My Dying Bride, but sometimes they do have this quality of all these retro bands that we've been talking about on the show and that are out there, like, you know, Witchcraft and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It has that vibe to it as well. And it's something I'm really getting into. I like this band a lot, and I just discovered them a few days ago. So,
all right,
I wanted to bring them to your attention on the show and let all of our listeners check them out. The album is called The Year Is One. It's on Svart Records, which is a great record label.
Yes.
So song titles include Robe of Ectoplasm. Maybe a Ghostbusters reference there. I don't know. I Am a Name on Your Funeral Wreaths, Babylon Working, Jesus Christ, Son of Satan, Holiday in the Cemetery, She Died a Virgin, Black Magic, White Powder, and World of No Light.
Yeah, and good song titles.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So is this already out?
This is already out. It came out in 2016.
All right.
Definitely cool. Something that I missed. It came out in November, it looks like. So let's get into Spiritus Mortis, and we will see you guys on the next episode.
Yeah.
One last thing we got to say.
Keep it metal. Not keep, rock and roll. Keep it metal.
Keep it fucking metal.
Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.